Well, if you've just joined us this week, we're in the third week of a series called Resident Aliens. And it's a term alluded to by the Apostle Peter writing to Christians who were the borders of Israel. And his purpose in writing the letter was to remind them that God had chosen and called them to a life of devotion and faithfulness to him. And to remember that the place in which they resided wasn't in fact their eternal home. Hence, they were foreigners, they were aliens. And he was imploring them to live in such a way that their faith caused them to stand out for good compared to the local practices. This week, we look at 1 Peter chapter 3, a chapter which begins with an address to wives and then to husbands. And for those of you who are familiar with the whole letter or have done some reading ahead and knew that this was coming up, you may be thinking, well, this should be interesting, or good luck whoever gets this particular week. Well, thank you for your prayers. It's me. Let me point out that the way we have our Bible and it's sectioned into different paragraphs, different chapters, it can be sometimes problematic. And we read it without having put it in context of chapters 1 and 2. So let me make this disclaimer. If you are married, this message is for you. If you were married, this message is for you. If you're single or if you're dating, this message is for you. If you're employed or if you're unemployed, this message is for you. If you're a parent or a grandparent, this message is for you. If you've lost contact with your family, this message is for you. If you're here today or listening online, guess what? This message is for you. And the focus of how to fix my spouse, and the focus neither is on slave labor or how to get a better boss, or for kids maybe, how to work out what's wrong with my parents. 1 Peter chapter 2 and 3 together is about how we are to live life as God's chosen people in all kinds of relationships. Peter includes everyone, wherever you are, whatever you do, everyone, his call goes out to all resident aliens. Back in 1977, a film was released called Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And the storyline depicts three kinds of factors or levels which acknowledge the presence of extraterrestrial life. Those being sighting, evidence, and contact. Sighting, when you see the potential that another kind of life exists. Evidence, when there are signs left that show another kind of life is possible. And contact, when an alien makes personal contact with people to leave no doubt about this other kind of life. Close encounters of the third kind. There's long been a fascination with life on other planets as well as beyond our galaxy. We search all over for some kind of meaning, some purpose, and some connection in life. But God stepped from outside of time into our physical realm to gift us with purpose and meaning. If we would only accept, we're not satisfied with that. So we look for a more believable and certain explanation. We look for meaningful relationships, close encounters in distant and maybe dark places. And sadly, we become so preoccupied with the uncertainty of having distant neighbours that we also forget the certain presence and priority of our closest neighbours. Those in our homes, in our church family, in our workplace, down our street, those close encounters. With all this in mind and with an understanding of Peter's intent, I've titled today's message, Close Encounters of the Holy Kind. And as I mentioned, to give context to chapter 3, we need to revisit a little bit from chapter 2. Otherwise, we do fall into the danger of reading chapter 3 out of context and applying it in a way which actually does more harm to our relationships than good, and it's certainly not what the Apostle Peter intended, nor the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter doesn't identify every relationship we experience, but he certainly addresses some of those closest ones which we might find ourselves in. So let's quickly read from chapter 2, verse 18. I'm going to be reading from the Message paraphrase today. "You who are servants, be good servants to your masters, not just good masters, but also to bad ones. You, in spite of it, to be a good servant, that's what counts with God. This is the kind of life you've been invited into, the kind of life Christ lived. He suffered everything that came his way so you would know that it could be done and also know how to do it, step by step." Peter writes, the life Christ lived. This is the kind of life you've been invited into, and it involves relationships, close encounters. In this world, they can be complex, they can be confusing, they can bring healing, but they can also be divisive. How can you see the potential that another kind of life exists, an abundant life purposed in God, different from what the world offers? A life which is alien to the world's perspective. Well, I'm going to suggest the first thing to do is to keep sight of who you are. Keep sight of who you are. Even keep sight of whose you are. In this, I'm not implying to remain as you are. So I'm not changing who I am. Keep sight of who you are in the midst of your relationships. Now, remember from last week, you are chosen by God. You're a child of God. Your identity is not determined by your possessions or your appearance. Your identity is found in Christ and guaranteed by the Holy Spirit's work, presence in your life. He called you out of darkness into glorious light to declare, that is to live a praiseworthy life before God. And it's not an easy thing, especially when you're feeling unappreciated, especially when opposition comes, when disappointment tries to crush your spirit, when someone treats you like dirt and then tries to walk all over you. But even in those moments, it's what Peter's encouraging us, keep in Christ. When tensions rise or conflicts come into a relationship, don't look down on yourself. Whether you're at fault and you're trying to seek forgiveness or whether the other party has wronged you and perhaps you're feeling betrayed, but be certain of who you are called to be, even in the struggle. Keep sight of who you are in Christ. So don't take your value and your worth from the currency of this world. Be reminded of the potential God sees in you. God desires to transform you into the image of his Son. Can you see the potential of that kind of life? If you're in the midst of some form of suffering and hardship, allow his Spirit to be your comfort and strength. Allow his Spirit to lead and guide you, to remind you of his promises, to help you overcome, to help you see a way through, just as Jesus had victory in his suffering. And this is where it's vital for us to have in our lives those trustful, those faithful people who know what it means to bear one another's burdens, to help each other, to lift each other up, to pray for one another, to give good counsel. I mentioned about vital signs last week. That's one vital sign for you to look. Is it in your life? Do you have those kind of relationships? And this is where a close encounter of the holy kind begins. And out of this understanding, we can leave evidence of genuine love. It doesn't mean that our relationships are without drama. But if we're called to live holy lives which honor God, then the way that we love others, genuinely love them, it will mean that we leave signs of that love along the way. We'll leave evidence of genuine love. Okay, here we go, chapter 3. I've made you wait long enough. Peter acknowledges the closing lives. Verse 1, it says, "The same goes for you wives. Be good wives to your husbands, responsive to their needs." The NIV has it this way. It says, "Wives, In the same way, submit to your own husbands. The same way as what? And what does it mean to submit? What's he talking about here? Peter was referring to that the same way, remember back chapter 2, the same way Christian citizens were to respect and honour those God had placed in governmental authority. It was the same way that slaves in those days were to submit to their masters. And Peter himself to God's authority, even while he suffered. The same way as Christ showed submission. And you may be thinking, wow, that's a bit rough on the women, isn't it? And this is where some may read into it that women must show submission because they're put in a place of oppression. That the wife, for instance, should be willing and ready to drop everything for their man. Well, I can tell you that that's not how this passage is interpreted in our house. Okay? Not at all. That's not a... Submission, as Peter refers to it in this letter, isn't about men manipulating and having dominance and control over women. It's more about an equality that respects each other's strengths while at the same time is patient and supportive through each other's weaknesses. We need to keep in mind that Peter's letter was written and sent into a pagan, into a worldly context. And in the Greco-Roman culture of the time, a woman was expected to follow the religious choices of her father, and when married, then her husband. So when the woman became a Christian and was independent of her husband, of his religious beliefs, then she was actually seen as a rebel against the social order of the day. And that, I think, helps give some context to how Peter's writing. And when you read verse 2, there are husbands who, indifferent as they are to any words about God, in other words, that they're not believers, they're not Christ followers. But in observing what's happening, what's taking place within a woman who honours God, who shows this submission like Christ showed submission, they see something different in their practice and they're attracted by that. So they're captivated by your life of holy beauty. So in this context, the words wives submit to your own husbands would have sounded quite normal when they were reading. Yeah, I understand, I need to submit to my husband. Because it's what the pagan society had taught. But again, the foreign part was that kind of living was different for the husband because they were actually captivated and drawn in by the life that the woman was living, her inner beauty. Now men, we're not left out, okay? Verse 7, husbands in the same way. There we go again. In the same way. You connect it back. Same kind of submission that Christ displayed. And we should take note that the husbands that Peter writes about here and refers to, they're not likely the same husbands that we read earlier. Those unbelieving husbands. These are those who have found faith in Jesus. They are Christ followers and living a holy life within the family unit of showing respect and honour to their wives. Verse 7, the same goes for you husbands. Be good husbands to your wives. Honour them, delight in them. As women, they lack some of your advantages. Some interpret this as physical or emotional, but certainly not intellectual or spiritual. But in the new life of God's grace, you are equals. Your equals. What do our close encounters look like in our homes? Is holiness being produced in my life through these relationships? Is my kind of life different from those of the world? Is there evidence of genuine love that shows I'm in fact set apart for God's good work? What sort of evidence are we leaving? The Apostle Paul obviously was on the same sort of page, was inspired by the Holy Spirit as well, because he wrote similar words to the church, the Colossian church, in chapter 3, verse 12. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense, a little bit lower down, and regardless of what else you put on, wear love. Wear love. What are we dressing ourselves in? What evidence are we leaving? Is it signs of genuine love? We skipped over verse 3 before, but Peter mentions the appearance of wives. Remember again the context. Context that at the time the Greco-Roman culture was fixated on appearance. There was little regard for the integrity of what was taking place on the inside. It was like what you look like is the most important thing. Sounds similar to today's culture. Peter was implying, don't focus on your outer beauty to the detriment of your inner beauty. When it comes to inner beauty and integrity, this really applies again to both men and to women. Don't let the culture conquer your kingdom calling. When you step into a different culture, it often doesn't take long before some of that culture tries to rub off on you. Before you know it, you start looking like the world, or you start speaking like the world, you start behaving like the world. A few years ago, we traveled to Thailand, not on a mission trip, but as a family holiday with Joe's whole family, about 30 of us. It was quite a task in itself. But we were there for a couple of weeks and slowly became accustomed to the climate and some of the food. One evening, we went to a formal Thai restaurant, and part of the experience required us getting dressed up in formal Thai clothing, adults and kids, and we all looked apart. We were starting to fit in with everyone around us, and of course, while you're on holidays, you want to capture the moment and you take some photos. And so as we were about to leave, we quickly took some photos, and here's a photo of our three younger boys. And it was a bit noisy and we were all a bit rushed, but we took a few of those photos. And as I was looking through the photos later, I noticed that not all of them were as cute as what I had first thought. How quickly things had changed. It didn't take much before someone was looking at stabbing someone else in the back, looking down on the other perhaps with contempt, jealousy and anger. Meanwhile, it's funny looking at Spencer in the red there. He doesn't seem to be, he's oblivious to it all. He's just, I'm okay. You know? The world's approach can sometimes leave evidence like this. We're quick to do someone else in, to get our own way forward or to get an advantage. And at the first sign of trouble, maybe, one person flies off the handle, or perhaps someone gives in but then lives with the tension for the rest of their life. Or maybe both sides in a relationship call a truce and they just live alongside each other without really investing in each other. This kind of evidence certainly doesn't inspire or draw others in. For Joe and I, we don't always get it right. But we do our best to leave evidence of genuine love between each other, as husband and wife, between us as parents and our children. And these close encounters, they can be messy and difficult at times, can't they? And for Joe and I, we're still learning how to fight well, not physically, but in a holy sense, those moments of intense fellowship. Leaving evidence of compassion, kindness, humility, forgiveness, genuine love. Again, in the heat of the battle, these aren't easy things to do. And sometimes I must admit that the couch has been a much safer option, but it hasn't been the better option. Close encounters of a holy kind, are committed to showing that healthy relationships with Jesus at the center are possible, and that they're far more spiritually fruitful than the imploding and dishonoring relationships that the world offers. As I mentioned at the start, there's many different kinds of relationships that we're closely connected into. And so Peter brings us back to include everyone, to all Christians in strange and foreign places. His call goes out to all resident aliens. Verse 8, summing up, everyone listening, this is for everyone. Be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble. That goes for all of you. No exceptions, no retaliation, no sharp-tongued sarcasm. Instead, bless. That's your job. Bless. You'll be a blessing and also get a blessing. And this is in such stark contrast to how the world sees relationships. No wonder God's holy call is seen as alien and foreign to our surroundings. So we keep sight of who we are in these close encounters. We leave evidence of genuine love in these close encounters. And when the opportunity comes, we make contact at a greater level. We make contact at a greater level to leave no doubt about this life that Jesus has called us into. Verse 14, through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention in adoration before Christ your Master. Be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living in the way you're living, and always with the utmost courtesy. We have a hope. We have a hope which speaks into the relationships we have with each other, and we have this life which speaks out our relationship with Jesus. I'm not going to stretch this out much longer, but let me just say that don't be afraid to make contact at a greater level. Don't be afraid of it. God consistently provides opportunities for conversations on a greater spiritual level. We just need to be watching, listening, and willing as we're invited to enter into it. This is part of our purpose for being alive on this earth. This is part of our purpose that God's placed us here. Relationships, close encounters. Part of the purpose of having close encounters of the holy kind, so that others will be moved to cast their gaze to the heavens, but to declare the goodness and glory of God. Make contact at a greater level. Evidence of genuine love along the way. Keep sight of who you are. Who you are in Christ. That God has chosen you. His love is incredible. I'm going to sing in a moment about just that love that reaches out. Say, you're my child. I love you. There's no one like you. But there's a lot of people around that need to know you and need to know me. We're invited into that, those close encounters. Let's stand together.